What's up, guys, and welcome back to the JP and Trav Show live from OU Insider. As always, it's your host with the most, Jalen Posey, better known around Sooner Nation as JP. And to my far right, I have my esteemed brother, co-host, and friend, Travis J. Davidson. Travis, how you feeling, bro?
Man, I'm fantastic. How else should somebody feel who's about to head to Omaha to watch his team compete for their third national title? As a baseball program, especially given the fact they finished 11th in the SEC. Nobody saw this coming. Even the most delusional of folks, sometimes like myself, even I had my doubts that they'd be playing in the championship series. So excited about that. It's been a lot of fun to do the reaction videos and whatnot. Those have been blowing up after the games. Last night was huge. I think we topped out around like 3,500 viewers at the time. Very cool comment section popping off. It was a blast. But in the middle of one of those games, we had some big news drop. Mr. Brendan Sorsby would be declaring for the UF, or entering the supplemental draft. But, you know, a conversation, a hot and heavy conversation of what feels like the last few weeks, Jalen, is Texas Tech. It's been at the heart and soul of every, I mean, from political shows to sports shows to I think even weather segments are saying something about them. And so I went back and forth with a gentleman, Texas Tech podcaster, radio host down in Dallas, and he was saying some pretty crazy stuff on Twitter. There's no doubt about it. But so I get in there and I said something about Texas Tech podcasters are, you know, insulting our intelligence, all this. And he opts in and says, well, hey, I'm a Texas Tech podcaster. Why don't you come on? So I went on his, and I think it's only, you know, that Southern hospitality we've learned in the SEC that we've got to have him on the JP and Trav shows. Please join me in welcoming Brennan Baxter of the Broadway Shuffle, Texas Tech podcast. They do a great job over there. Welcome, man. How are you?
Doing great, man. Yeah, it's obvious that the Southern hospitality no longer exists in the Big 12 without OU in Texas, right? So it's only a Southeastern Conference thing now. The Big 12, ruthless. No Southern gentlemen exist in the conference. It's just a bunch of ruthless athletic directors and presidents, man. But super excited to be here. Thank you all for having me.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Of course, man. And, you know, in true fashion, as you said, it's all fun and games. You know, we go back since the, you know, 96, you know, just so much between our two fan bases. I mean, I had to put a Baker Mayfield jersey on just because, you know, we know what he means to this conversation and this rivalry. But moving forward, man, talking about this Brendan Sorsby case, I really want to know from your perspective, Brendan, what your reaction was when you first heard the report come out of him dealing with gambling.
So in April, when I first saw it pop up on ESPN, I just thought, oh, this is kind of weird. Like, I didn't think to the extent at which he had gambled had any effect on him potentially playing the season. I saw gambling addiction. I saw he's in rehab, and I just thought, oh man, well, I hope he's ready for football. Like, I didn't really think that this had anything to do with him betting on games in Indiana. So the first time I saw it, I'm like, very odd, but not really surprised, because I think to the extent at which we do see gambling and how much it goes on, but how easy it is to access as well too, it didn't really shock me that a report came out of a young man, 22 years old, gambling on whatever he was gambling on. But obviously what followed the next month and a half was some of the most shocking reporting and news and storyline I've ever seen around a college university. So at the beginning, though, I just thought, dang, I hope, what do you do? I get caught playing blackjack too much. I really did not think it would be the extent at which it turned out to be.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting is obviously we then learned it's thousands of bets. You know, one of the programs that he was redshirting for. And of course, the conversation continues to grow around it. Who is at fault? Who should have said something? Who didn't say things? Who said things when they shouldn't have? Everything like that. So as we walk down this timeline, you get that report and it's, hey, look, what's going on? He apparently gambled on sports. That's a big no-no. He's obviously the NCAA rules. ineligible, which Texas Tech is like, all right, cool, ineligible. Like, is what it is. He's ineligible. Then, you know, down the road, he files for an injunction, right? And it's like, okay, but there's no way, right? After all the reports that have come out, now they're going to do discovery. You know, the courts are going to get to see everything. And this started with an investigation in the first place. This wasn't some I turned myself
right
in stuff. So the discovery comes, and it's what was the final number on it? Like 8,900 bets?
8,900 bets. The number of dollars reported still is like around $90,000. I'm sure it could be more or less there. Ooh. But and it's funny because the more that it came out, the more it actually probably helped his case. I mean, even when it was reported that he was gambling while he was in Lubbock, so he was still placing bets on sports having been in Lubbock, you would think, okay, like, dude, if you know you broke the rules, if you know you cheated and whatever he did, and you're still doing it, you do look like an addict. And so in that sense, I think the more the news came out, the more Brendan was probably like, guys, I'm addicted to gambling. I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is a mental health crisis. So it was wild to see how that actually probably helped his defense when they presented it to the judge in Lubbock there against the NCAA.
Man, federal wire fraud helping cases. It's nuts because, you know, it may have helped his case, but what I'm wondering is eventually, and we'll get to this later, I think there's still a real chance that he faces actual legal repercussions for some of like the federal, I mean, crimes, right? He was betting underage, right? He was betting in states where you had to be 21 to bet. He was sending money to others across state lines to make bets for him while he was in the state of Texas where you can't bet online. So I'll be wondering if there's, you know, anything else to come of this. What was your reaction to the injunction once it actually was granted? And it was like, oh my gosh, Brendan Sorsby can play football this year after being declared ineligible.
So I was shocked at the fact that they actually granted the injunction, but one of my co-hosts, Zyler, was in the courthouse that day. He spent all day listening to the case, and he sat with two attorneys from Lubbock, and they walked out of the courthouse, and those two attorneys looked at him and said, the NCAA might be screwed here. I mean, they said that was the best defense they could have presented for Brendan Sorsby. And Jeffrey Kessler did what apparently he does best, which is just run circles around other lawyers and judges, because he walked out of there. And so when Zyler told me that, I said, okay, I guess I shouldn't be totally surprised if this comes down. I think leading into the hearing, and we'll get into this too, but with Texas Tech, everybody was shocked, including, I believe, Texas Tech, like the athletic department program. I don't think many people at all expected this injunction to go through. And so when it came out, it was just complete crisis mode, I think, for the Tech athletic department. And as we saw over the course of the last week, some decisions they probably would like to take back, some actions they did. But like when you're in that mode, you're just trying to figure out how do we stop the bleeding. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they really expected the bleeding to start.
Yeah, I think that it was crazy to think about in sports, just the timing that you have to have, because we never talked about this before, but I'm a former athletic director. Brendan, if you didn't know,
I didn't know that.
I've been an athletic director for 7 years. I just stepped out of that into a new role this past summer. But I remember seeing Kirby Hokut's, you know, initial statement, and I'm like, that's just athletic director speak for, like, we trying to figure this out, dog. Like,
yeah.
That's literally how I felt. And so then we get into, you know, the 22-minute video that I know a lot of people talk about. We just said hostage video just because that's what it looked like. Like, it looked like they're all around the table, like they were, like, yeah, gun to their heads. You know what I mean? The president, you know, the AD coach, everything like that. But we all talked about it from our perspective. Definitely really interested in hearing what you thought about it. Did you think it was well done? Did you think it was tacky? Like, what did you actually think about it?
When I first saw it, and I saw a message to our Texas Tech community, what I think happened was, and I'm around those guys, Giovanetti, Kirby, Joey, interviewed them all, spoken to them. And I thought, okay, you don't need to tell us what you're doing. Like I already assume that these guys have done a lot of good things right within Texas Tech the last 3 or 4 years. Like, I'm just going to kind of trust you, but you don't need to go to the fans, because it started turning. I think they saw a lot of Texas Tech fans start to go, is this worth it? Should we support Brendan Sorsby? And the heat got turned up within the Tech community. I don't think they did that because of guys like Travis, you know, and national media guys bringing heat to Tech, and they felt, we've got to explain our case. I think they were truly trying to address Texas Tech fans. And of course, that it got out to millions of people, and it, as it would, and everyone else just starts raining hell on it. And I understand why, because it probably wasn't necessary. And I imagine if you ask those guys now, they wish they just hadn't done it, especially now that Brendan's no longer on the team. But my reaction was, did we have to do that? Probably not. And I thought the justification of trying to show the mental health within the 22-minute video was probably just not going to help the case whatsoever. And it turned out it didn't.
Yeah, that was my issue with it was, hey, look, trust me, as a guy, so with my role with the OU Club of Tulsa, we have an event coming up. And it's called the Sooner Send-Off, and we celebrate all of the kids in the region that are going to OU for the first time, right? Well, we're sending out invites to that. We're sending out 32,000 invites, and we're doing that because we have the email addresses of all the students through admissions. We have all the email addresses from all the alumni and donors and supporters and everything like that. Texas Tech has ways to reach those people. And that's what I found so interesting was, like, you can send out a video to the Texas Tech family. Will it get out? Of course. Somebody, you know, Ross Dellinger or somebody's going to get a video or get a copy from a Texas Tech student, and then they'll put it out. But it's not like Twitter from Texas Tech Athletics. Here we go. We're going to be out. So there are a lot of Texas Tech fans. And like you say, it's a message to Texas Tech fans. But if they really just wanted to reach them, they had a list of ways to reach them. They wanted this to be out there. And I think they misjudged how it would be seen. I think they saw themselves being sympathetic figures and really painting the story as, hey, look, we are doing the right thing here. Why can the world not get it through their heads? We're not the problem. The rest of the world is the problem. So I think it was, do you think they would, if they could go back in time, do you think they would do that particular part differently?
I think they probably would not do the video, but the more that I've thought about this since the reporting has come out that he won't be on the roster, was when you look back at the tea leaves of Kirby saying we're taking it week to week and Joey saying, I'm not sure if week three he's going to be ready. I think Texas Tech was kind of trying to figure it out behind the scenes. I don't think that on Monday we found out, oh, Brendan's gone. I don't think those conversations started Monday morning. I probably think those conversations did start to happen middle of last week, and they were going, okay, let's keep the mental health side going, but there's a real world here where this just isn't going to make sense and this isn't going to work. And let's continue to show that we care about our student athlete and our player. Did you have to do the video? No, but I think behind the scenes, it's just my opinion, they were probably getting ready to have these discussions before Monday on, all right, I don't think Brendan Sorsby playing football for us is going to make a lot of sense in 2026.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I guess on that tilt, knowing that now you don't have the guy that maybe you thought at one point, maybe some fans had a realistic view of maybe this will work out with the injunction. And obviously, even though fundamentally they're different cases, I mean, you saw Trinidad Chambliss get an injunction. You saw our own Owen Heineke get an injunction. Mm-hmm. So we've been seeing these things and people standing up to the NCAA. And so there may be some fans that felt like, hey, we have a real shot here. But where do you feel like Tech goes from here? You know, how do you guys feel about the backup quarterback? I don't even know his name. That's no disrespect. I'm just not, you know, up on Tech.
So you've got Kirk Francis. You got Kirk Francis, Travis's favorite player from Tulsa, that will start the first two games most likely. I think there will be a push for Will Hammond. That is our backup from a year ago. Mm-hmm. JP to start week one if he's ready to go, coming off an ACL injury. And Will's played in big moments. I mean, Will was the reason we beat Utah on the road a year ago. Will gave us a lead at Arizona State last fall. He's played in some big moments and has played meaningful football. So the Tech fan base, like, I have been a big believer in Will Hammond since he got to the campus as a true freshman out of Hutto, Texas. So I'm excited about Will Hammond. Joey's on record saying that if he never tore his ACL, we wouldn't even be having the conversation about Brendan Sorsby. They feel that good about him that he would have been the starting quarterback for Texas Tech had he not torn his ACL in late October. And so I'm excited. I think the question with Brendan was always the ceiling goes from you're probably winning the Big 12 anyways to you can compete and win a national championship. We saw what Baron Morton did in the Orange Bowl in Miami. He nothing, like literally a goose egg. And so Brendan was to be the guy that could go win you potentially a championship. I think Texas Tech is fully capable with Will Hammond to get right back to a Big 12 championship quarterfinal appearance, and then you kind of see what you can do year round. Brendan was the national ceiling raiser. Will Hammond's fully capable of winning a Big 12 championship.
And, you know, with that, correct me if I'm wrong, but Tech was going to lean on the defense for the most part this year, right? I mean, that's why I feel like a guy like even Kirk Francis, like, and no disrespect to Kirk at all, love the kid, but it's like, I don't think, and again, your national ceiling changes with quarterback play, but let's be honest, Steve Sarkisian probably isn't the only one that thinks Texas Tech's schedule isn't exactly a meat grinder, you know?
The Big 12, you could just call it what it is. Like, it's the depth of the conference is not what you guys have in the SEC. It's not the Big 10. And especially this conference, we don't have Utah on our schedule. We don't have BYU on our schedule. So we don't have probably the top two or three teams on our schedule this year at all. Kansas State, who with Avery Johnson could be really good again. Who knows? With Colin Klein coming over from A&M and, you know, being a quarterback guru guy, they are expected to be a lot better, but they're not on our regular season schedule. So, yeah, I understand that point too. And Travis, to that point, I found it funny because I actually was online a lot, getting a lot of crap, but I never once, if you read through everything I said, I never once defended Brendan Sorsby. In fact, all of my defense was for Texas Tech as an institution. The reason I didn't share my opinion on Brendan Sorsby is because my opinion was none of this is worth it because you're going to get to the point you'd probably get to regardless. You have a better roster.
Did you mute yourself or is that us? JP, can you hear
him? I cannot. We have lost the audio.
Oh, here we go. Hold on. See if I can get it.
It says that the mic is not connected. It
says your mic's not connected.
How about?
Oh, there we go.
How about?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, apologize. Don't know what happened.
Cody Campbell called it in and said, hey, man, we got a guy on another pod. We got to
get off the OU show. So, Travis, to your point, that was a big question that Texas Tech fans started to feel was, we're already probably going to win this conference. Is it worth it for a one-year quarterback to go through this and to die on this hill? And that's where the fan base started to turn. And there was some divide on, yes, technically legally, you are following a state injunction. You are allowed to follow that. You're not breaking a rule if Brendan is playing under that injunction. Texas Tech's not breaking a rule. But the national media is going to come at you. Everyone's going to come at you. The spotlight's going to be heavy. Is that worth it for 1 year when you're probably going to go 11-1 anyways? And ultimately, we get our answer now, and hopefully Texas Tech, for our sake, can go win and, you know, beat OU in a quarterfinal game or a game in Norman or Lubbock. We'll see what happens. But I feel really good about Will Hammond.
I got you. You were putting some tweets out there, man, that, it was a firestorm on you. You were going into the fight. So I respect you for that. You're, you know, consistent of, well, I guess Texas Tech's the only school in America that cares about mental health. You know, you were throwing some bait out there ready for some big fish to land on the boat.
I was throwing bait, but I also found it funny because that was the main argument was you have to believe the premise that Brendan Sorsby has a gambling addiction or that Brendan Sorsby has a mental health illness. If you don't believe that, then nothing about the argument holds true. And obviously the only people that were at least publicly sharing that they believed it were Texas Tech fans. Every other institution was saying, cry me a river. He's just a gambling. It's not mental health. It's not an addiction. And even if it is, it doesn't matter. He shouldn't play football. Cause if it is, and he has that, Travis, to your response to my tweet, why does he have to play football then to get the help he needs? And so I just found it a little, I was like, well, I mean, it seems to me like no one really cares about their health and wellness of their student athletes, because clearly if that was their case, they wouldn't let Brendan Sorsby play or get the help he wants. They toss him to the curb. And so, yeah, I was being a little facetious, but I also kind of meant that what I was seeing online was telling me, man, no one here seems to care about the mental health aspect of this case whatsoever. So,
well, it's kind of, it's the Charles Barkley meme, right? We're going to start a dialogue. Like, sometimes you've got to put stuff out there just to try and see who's willing to have a conversation about anything. You know, I was putting a lot of stuff out there, and somebody with, you know, some, you know, Cody Campbell's burner with a, with a cactus emoji in it is saying this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, you're not here to have the conversation. Like, I think it's clear. I think it's easy to find out quickly who is on this app to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And who is on an app to just troll, to toss out insults, to try and be funny or try and get engagement or anything like that. So I think it's pretty easy to find those. My issue was I had a hell of a time finding anybody in Texas like that. You're one of the very few that would sit there and actually have a conversation with me about it. There were so many others that, you know, took the just threw out any notion that Brennan Sorsby was being kept around because he could play football. And it was just, no, all students get this same type of support. And I can't believe that anybody's coming after Tech about this, because we're the ones saving this man's life. And all, it's like, oh my gosh, give me a break. None of you would know this kid's name if you didn't pay $5 million for him as a quarterback. So, but then again, he wouldn't have been reported on, you know, as widely if he wasn't the $5 million quarterback either. So it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword type situation. When you watch, like, this happens in election season a lot, right? If you belong to a political party, no matter what side of the aisle you're on,
you're going to get us canceled, Trev.
Chill. During election season, during election season, you see people in your political party acting in an embarrassing manner that makes you look bad, right?
Yeah.
Where you go out there and say, man, why'd you have to go do that? Now you make the rest, you give the rest of us a bad name, you know? And often in things like this, this happens, you know, to fan bases, right?
Sure.
When Texas Tech, like, there was always like a, you know, hey, we're going to go play, we're going to go pay Najee Kennedy, whatever, you know, whatever we want. There's nothing you can do to stop us. Okay, cool. That's within the rules. Go do it. Hey, we're going to go, you know, pay these high school football recruits mad money and get five stars over Texas and OU and A&M and all these. Okay, cool. That's your prerogative. You can do what you want. It's how new money acts. Like, that's how they should do it. Like, and you guys were disruptors in the space. And there was a little bit of like a, maybe not from the Blue Bloods, well, definitely not from the Blue Bloods, but I think other schools around the country kind of saw them as like, man, if we can just get some of our rich donors to jump up like Cody Campbell did, I mean, we can compete for national championships too. Why not us, right? Going from that to what maybe you're currently, or at least maybe 2 weeks ago, whereas if anybody saw a cactus emoji on Twitter, it was like, oh, I'm about to hear the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, to walk me through your process as a media member, radio host, podcast host, guy who talks to these people, a rational person with your own face on your profile.
Thank you.
How do you feel seeing all of your fan base act a fool?
I mean, it's difficult because you guys know this. Texas Tech has always been, when it comes to A&M, Texas, Oklahoma, the punching bag, the little brother. We were outside of 2008, and then you guys quickly humbled us there in Norman, you know, at, I believe it was 63-21. I cried, I think. I was 11 years old. you feel this sense of like, okay, you're just going to continue to turn us against everybody because you're putting us into this corner. And last year, everything that Tech has done as an academic an athletic department the last 3 or 4 years, they've hit on, right? Nigeri candidate, like JT Toppin in basketball, you're having Elite Eight runs, you're winning the Big 12 for the first time. So you're feeling this wave, this high. It's just, you can't get turned down. And then you get Brendan Sorsby and you feel like, okay, we're going to go, you know, make noise again. And then all of that stripped from you quickly. And now everybody is like, what is going on in Lubbock and Texas Tech? And so I think it was this reactionary thing of, wait, I thought we were kind of getting cool. Like, I thought we were kind of being popular, and now everybody despises us again. And, you know, it's hard, Travis, you're right. Like, because I had thousands of burners in my, you know, calling me names and whatever, and it's hilarious. And it's like, if you put your face to your name and give an opinion, I'll be much more likely to respond to you regardless. And there's burners. Texas Tech is not immune to having, I don't know who those people are. Right. Like, we've got crazy fans just like every other university does. And
right.
I think when they felt attacked, it was time to go on the offensive. And seeing Texas Tech go on the offensive in support of Brendan made, I think, a lot of people feel like we need to double down and just continue to take the us against the world mantra. And that doesn't go well online very often when you do that. And so it was a tough week and a half, 2 weeks. But I'll tell you this, having done my own show and everything since this news has came out, there's a lot of relief. We can focus on football as a fan base, right? I mean, I don't know what they're feeling inside the locker room, but I'm happy that I can do a position preview episode in a week and not have to talk about Brendan Sorsby or what someone said. You know, I'm just looking forward to getting to the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brendan, I actually want to talk a little bit about Texas Tech, and I know we talked about slightly what your overview was going to be at quarterback, but I'm actually interested in hearing, you know, what the defense is going to do, because I know you guys were, you know, obviously you had more than last year. You didn't do hot, you know, that hot, but you know, you had your stud linebacker, right? Yeah, Dave Bailey, like, you know, just some dudes, right? NFL dudes out there.
Yep.
Are you, and remind me, because I, like I said, I'm going to act like I'm green. I don't know the inner workings of Texas roster. So what do you guys have on that side of the ball that you feel like has you ready to compete for a national championship?
Yeah, you're right. When you hear Jacob Rodriguez, David Bailey, Lee Hunter, those are draft picks, right? Leaving the roster. But behind them, Ben Roberts, John Curry at linebacker have been in the program. We brought in Austin Romaine from Kansas State, who was probably already a top 5-10 linebacker probably in the country, but he was on Kansas State a year ago, and he's coming in now to kind of be that Jacob Rodriguez replacement. We brought in Trey White, a dynamic edge from San Diego State. Mateen, I always mess up his name, but it's Irorogba, I believe, defensive tackle from Wake Forest. And AJ Holmes was on the roster a year ago, and he's back at defensive tackle. And this is why I think it's interesting, because you bring back 6 of 11 starters. You just happen to lose 5 draft picks, but you're still bringing back a lot of dudes. And then you brought in some key.
It
happened again.
Your mic went out real quick, and you said you brought in Kiki Palmer. I know she'll be going on Hot Ones soon. I do love me some Kiki Palmer.
Do you love me?
You want me again?
Yes, we got you now. We got you.
All right, I don't know thing, I promise. yeah, so they're going to be the best unit in the deepest unit in the Big 12, and they'll still be able to compete on a national level. You probably just won't have the dynamic piece of a Jacob Rodriguez, who forced 11 turnovers by himself, right? I mean,
he's a stud.
Stud, but you're going to have a lot of depth and talent at every position that most rosters in the conference just can't compete with. And so to Travis's point, I believe if Kirk Francis started all 12 games, barring him throwing 4 or 5 picks and like literally giving points away to teams, you'd probably still have a chance to win the conference. Like your defense is that good, and your running back room is very deep. You bring in Quentin Joyner, who was out all last year from USC, Ohio State, to a running back room that already includes Cam Dickey and Jacoby Williams. So very good. It would be a great OU Texas Tech in Norman or in Lubbock in early January, late December for a playoff game would be a primetime game. Cause I know you guys speak a lot of defensive language there in Norman as well too. So.
Yeah. And I got nothing but love for the kid, but Kirk Francis might fake an injury if he rolls into Norman in a playoff. he wants nothing to do with the Brent Venables defense. I promise you that it might be 0-2 though, at the end of that one, who knows,
And I found it interesting too with y'all specifically. You guys had almost what Brendan Sorsby, like, it obviously, we talked about this a little bit, Travis, but if there was a school with the prestige and the name that was close to a gambling scandal, it almost happened for you guys. It was like 12 hours last August, right? Like the report comes out of Mateer sending the Venmo. And so like you guys probably had a little bit of like I kind of remember like what that you know, felt like briefly.
A little anxiety
of seeing it. And because I remember last August going, is John Mateer going to play football? Like, kind of at everyone else's points. Like, you didn't know pretty early, right, when that report got released.
First of all, Brennan, John Mateer is an addict.
Yeah.
his mental health crisis should not be a punchline, you know.
No. Yeah, he's podcast, you guys sent him to the nicest rehab center in Norman, I'm sure.
He had a thumb injury.
Hey, is Oklahoma the only school in the country that cares about mental health? I mean, what's going on here, Brennan?
It looks like it to me. Hey, it turned out better for Mateer than it did Sorsby, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah. Yeah, the Mateer will make more money this year.
For sure.
Playing professional sports. That's what's crazy.
For sure.
So, if you bottle up this, you just said something that was really interesting to me. So you said you're excited to do like a preview and talk about, you know, a position preview and talk about, you know, certain rooms and whatnot and not have it dominated by Sorsby talk, which is obviously ironic considering that's what we're here talking about today.
Right.
But you're like, man, I'm enjoying this feeling, like just living in this space. Does feeling that make you wish that Texas Tech had immediately just been like, hey, look, I know what the injunction says, but, we think it's in his best interest to not play football, maybe even not at Texas Tech. We'll still continue to support him. He can still be on the roster. He can still, you know, all the mental health support we can give him, blah, blah, blah. But he's not going to play here. You think if they would have come out of the gate and done that, like, what would the national reaction have been? And would you have been able to do season previews and Mount Rushmore talk and recruiting talk without ever really having to dip your toe into it?
It's almost impossible to say, because if you put any other school in the position of, we probably don't think this is going to get passed because we know the rules. Kirby Hokut knows rules and they understand that gambling is a team. So I think they were just as shocked. So even that first 5 days, and it felt like a month, but this was a week, right? Like the injunction's on a Monday and then he's gone like a week later. It just was one of the craziest weeks in sports, at least in the offseason, that I've ever seen. I think Texas Tech handled, and this was my defense of Texas Tech, like when the news broke, they stayed true to their word, at least up until they decided to move on.
And up until the Big 12 was like,
up until the Big 12, because, and they probably to an extent thought maybe some teams will come after us, but to the level that it was coming at them, I don't think they thought it was going to be that big a deal. And, or at least weren't prepared for it if they did. And so I don't regret, if I'm Texas Tech and just being a fan, and I don't regret how we handled it post injunction. I think I wish we didn't do the 22 minute video. I think I wish Joey didn't possibly speak at that event. Cody Campbell, maybe not going on it. If you just keep your mouth quiet and just let other people do the talking, because legally, like we said, Texas Tech followed the injunction legally. Like, they didn't break a law here. And so they could have just stayed quiet and said, we're going to handle this internally and we'll figure it out, and just not spoke for a month and two. I mean, it's June, right? You don't have to. I mean, Big 12 media days were a month away at that point. And so
we're consulting our attorneys. We're looking at all.
Yeah. Like, just sure. Let it. We're supporting Brendan Sorsby and his mental health and gambling addiction while consulting with our team. And who knows what was going on Brendan's side. I mean, here you got a kid who obviously is well-funded and has got what seems to be a concerned family and an agent, and he's thinking about being a first-round pick. And so he's got people in his ear. They're probably pushing back to Texas Tech. I mean, I think we always just assume like the school's making the decision, but there are now more than ever in college athletics, there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of people in people's ears. And so I don't think Texas Tech wanted to feel like Brendan Sorsby's going to sue us if we turn this down. And now we got to turn around and fight the player to play. I think it could have gone 1,000 ways, and Tech weathered the storm for a week and then thought, okay, let's make the best decision we can for our football team.
There was one question that we had a fan ask. I know we weren't going to do a bunch of fan questions, but I thought it was an introspective question, in my opinion. He says, I don't get how going pro removes the problem. There will always be concern, since he admitted to being an addict. He's fixing games. He's already shown the ability to find loopholes to bet. And so really, you know, not making light of it, like centering around, hey, does him going pro you know, is that going to make it better, or is he going to find ways to slip through the cracks, you know, at a pro team, you know, considering that maybe he will get drafted. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that too. Do we think he's actually going to get picked up by a team in supplemental draft?
Seeing how many teams in the NFL are just flat out desperate for a potential star at quarterback, any NFL GM that thinks they can pick a guy that can win them football games, they'll take him. Like, yeah, they will figure it out. And the NFL, we saw with Calvin Ridley and what happened there a couple years ago, they've got systems in place. And Goodell and the NFLPA and everybody, they run a tight ship. And so any team that takes on Brendan Sorsby, I've heard people say that he might even be suspended in the NFL for doing this in college. And I'd have a hard time buying that, really. I feel like any NFL franchise will do their due diligence. And if they choose to draft Brendan and try to give him a chance to play for him, if they think he can win football games, Brendan's going to be playing in the NFL. So, I mean, what do you guys think? I just can't see, like, an NFL team that's desperate for, I mean, Miami, you know, giving Malik Willis a chance. They need a quarterback. The Jets, obviously. What do the Pittsburgh Steelers do after Rodgers?
Not a Quinn Ewers believer, I see. Interesting.
Neither should you guys be, right? I mean,
Quinn Ewers.
No Texas love on this show coming from me either. I'm sure I can promise you. So
at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's where I feel like you're going to give a guy that might be a first round talent, might be a set, whatever he is. But if he's even a top 4 round talent at quarterback, you're going to give that guy a chance to compete on your roster. So I think he will get picked up, assuming he's allowed in the supplemental draft here this summer. I'd be surprised if he's not on a roster in August.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, I was talking to NFL scouts last couple of years at the Combine, and we continue the, you know, the NIL conversation and, you know, the current situation of college sports. And, hey, these guys, if they jump around from team to team, do you look at it badly that way? If there's this, that. And they said the portal is one thing, and we've got them under contract, so it's not like they have a choice to do that.
Yep.
But we love NIL because – the hardest question for us to solve whenever we would draft a guy is, how's this guy going to react to being wealthy all of a sudden? And we don't have to ask that question anymore. He's already wealthy by the time he gets to us. A lot of times he's making more in college than he's going to make from us. So we know how he's spending his money, and we can, you know, pick, you know, kind of what kind of head he's got on his shoulders. I kind of, you know, move that conversation over to, okay, it's not the NIL money spending that NFL scouts might be looking at with Brendan. It's this guy bet nearly six figures. That's also a money tie, even though this is how he's spending his NIL. He's not buying seven cars for his buddies. Like, it's not concerning spending habits, but it's something that's at least adjacent to concerning spending habits. So I don't know. It's such an interesting case to me. Everybody around here is like, well, the Browns are obviously going to take him because,
right.
You know, if nothing else, they'll take it just for the publicity. But do you think I'll ask you this, because I do think there is, I think it's greater than zero. What percentage do you think of Texas A&M's leadership? And it's not percentage of people, but each person having their own percentage, what that average is. When the Big 12 hit him with that legal notice, right? That federal legal motion, after Ken Paxton, the attorney general, at, I have to assume, somebody's request. There's somebody wearing, you know, garnet and black that wanted Ken Paxton to do this for them at some point. That triggered, of course, what we now know, the Big 12's action, and eventually pushed Texas Tech into making Brendan Sorsby, you know, not part of the team anymore. What percentage do you think of their insides would say, I wish we'd have done that earlier? Or that we're glad that the Big 12 forced our hand and we can put this behind us?
Percentage of people, like, in the room, like, if you're talking the
just like Kirby, average. I don't mean like 100% of Joey and 0% of Kirby. I'm saying, yeah, like, what percentage of Brennan Baxter even thinks it? Of, hey, look, I'm, you know what? We've gotten out over our skis on this with our PR anyways. Everybody hates us. They're canceling games against us. We're threatened legal action from AGs from all states all around us. We're ready for this to be behind us. thank God the Big 12 filed this motion. How much of that is bubbling up?
Oh, I thought that the temperature rose quickly through the middle of the week. I mean, I think probably by Wednesday or Thursday, it was over 50%. You know, the video comes out and all that too. But I knowing that those guys, like, they're so intelligent and they're also very aligned. That's why Texas Tech was early to the table. And it's not a complete random event that Texas Tech crushed NIL the way they have so early. And that's because Kirby, Cody, Joey, other Dusty Womble, other guys were so aligned quickly. And so these guys really do operate as a team, like almost as a front office when it comes to the football roster, basketball roster. And so I feel like they understood where it was going probably 4 or 5 days into the reaction. And that's why I said earlier, I feel like they probably started having conversations of, we need to do what's best for our school. And one guy, here's the thing about Joey too, is he really is what people talk about him as. He is a locker room guy. He's a relationship builder, and he cares about his players. And I think when Brendan started becoming bigger than the rest of the dudes in the locker room, that was going to affect the locker room and how Joey was able to coach and motivate. And I believe that even Joey would probably have said, I just want what's best for our school. And it's okay to acknowledge that as this continued to go and the Big 12 was willing to rain hell on you, that it wasn't going to be best for your school and you can pivot. I don't love the notion that people are saying, well, Tech bent the knee. And I'm like, I don't really think we bent the knee. I just think we adjusted to the reality that was going to be the entire summer and football season. I don't think any outside pressure outside of maybe the lawsuits. I don't think public perception affected Texas Tech moving on from Brendan Sorsby.
No, it was the Big 12 lawsuits. I mean, yeah. it was simple as that. It was once you start talking about bowl bans and fines and things like that, I mean, they're not worried about the fines. But when you start talking about not being able to play in the Big 12 championship game, mm-hmm. I mean, those type of things, you know, have real consequences with them. So, yeah, that's
and that's to the point on the talent on the roster, Jalen, I mean, when you've got guys that are trying to get drafted and they have futures and they have careers too, and now they're threatening not being able to play on a national televised game and not being scouted, that becomes an issue. And like, was Brendan Sorsby worth that to the rest of the team? I don't think so. And so I'm glad we moved on. I was relieved and happy that we moved on. I did not want to go to bat for Brendan Sorsby. I was willing to go to bat for Texas Tech. And now I can continue to do that without having to deal with the backlash.
The reality is the second you guys got the injunction, a 30 for 30 was going to be made about this. And so, we didn't want to end up like Pony XS, right?
SMU. Right. And you guys know this. I mean, it was good for business, right? Like as media members, as like reaction podcast and shows and hosts, like what else, if that never happened, May to June would have been so boring to talk just, you know, football offseason. So it made for good TV. It made for good media. And that's a whole other side of this that I thought was interesting. I think I tweeted out too, like, wouldn't it be in the Big 12's best interest to let this play out and to have the biggest villain in the sport and you're trying to beat him and everyone's watching your game to knock off the integrity of the game and rooting for you? I thought maybe that'd be good for the conference in a way. And so it turned out they didn't care about that, but I thought it'd make for great TV. So
listen, everybody loves controversy, Brendan. I mean, you're talking to two guys who, you know, the JP and Trav show, you know, was really built off the back of some controversy. I'm not sure if Trav.
No, I don't know. Here. I don't know. You got to tell me.
You know, way back in 2021, you know, there was a young man who, you know, you guys are very familiar with. I'm in West Texas by the name of Lincoln Riley. Okay. You know, who was our coach, right, at one point in time. And I'll let Trav take over most of the story because it's his story to tell. But Trav was at one point doing some things for the program with Lincoln Riley was there. You know, he was in the restaurant business cooking some things and everything like that. And so, you know, Trav said, hey, man, like I'm in Tulsa. I'm 2 hours away. I don't want to, you know, be heading down to Norman, you know, all the time lugging these big smokers to do this thing. And so long story short, Lincoln said, hey, man, like you can leave him here. And then from there, Trav, I'll let you take the reins, brother.
Yeah, well, obviously, so we used to smoke American Wagyu, 3-pound American Wagyu tomahawks for recruiting.
Wow.
Events, and I would Dremel, you know, messages in the bones and things like that. And it was a huge hit, right? I still have, like, there's an SMU coach that wants, I'm like, dude, I've been in the restaurant game in a bit. He's like, can you come down smoke steaks for my defensive line? I'm like, dog, like, move on. Like, there's barbecue in Texas. Figure it out. And you have an SMU budget. Figure it out.
Yep.
So, anyways, like would do this. And yeah, so Lincoln had my smokers at his house whenever he left. So when he left, obviously I was like, hey man, I'm gonna need my smokers back. Came like a week long thing, Barstool, Bro Bible picked it up, was in Yahoo, was in, I mean, every
Washington,
yeah, every entity
that ESPN. Was like,
not only did this college football coach stab his university in the back, but he took a guy's smokers, which is and if you remember, Lincoln Riley was famous for drying out that brisket. So, but that he put up on Easter Sunday.
One yeah. year.
So he already had a terrible reputation in the meat smoking community, if you will. And so it's like, and you can't even have smokers in California. So it's like, it was, yeah, I got the nickname Grill Boy. And it stuck with me for a long time. There's still people that call me Grill Boy. Toby Keith called me Grill Boy. So
that's crazy.
It's like, it was born out of that. The Twitter spaces came up.
Wow.
My followers went from like 4,000 to like 19,000 in about a week. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was crazy. It was a whirlwind. But yeah, we've been doing the show ever since. And it was wild times, man. We were in the middle of a coaching search.
Yeah.
Crazy. Very like, very we were doing highly numbers. Publicized coaching search because OU fans got dumped and they mm-hmm. wanted to make sure. It was like, no, we didn't get dumped. His wife must have caught him with somebody. I'm like, come on. He's not a pastor around here.
Right. We got dumped. Here. Yeah.
But
That must have been just a wild time outside. I have no idea about that. I completely missed that. What a crazy time for you guys. But Lincoln Riley too leaving, was that just such a shocking moment for you guys?
We thought, because we had like, you know, number one quarterback committed in the class. We had, you know, three. We had the Brandon Innes's of the world and all these guys. We had, I mean, we had like 4 or 5 stars in the class. It was going to be Lincoln's best class. He had the next year's class was coming up after him. Arch's family was begging Lincoln to offer him, like, but he wouldn't. Like, it was just like Oklahoma offensively was on top of the world, right? Defense had some issues, right? But, you know, we were going to have 2 5 stars in that next class. Yeah. Two like high round draft picks would have been part of that OU class that one of our buddies, Jamar Cain, was bringing in. But yeah, I mean, I was on the phone with Carl Williams, Caleb Williams' dad, like 30 minutes before the news hit ESPN. He didn't even know about it. Like, we were planning on doing NIL stuff with Caleb, you know, cooking for his offensive lineman and whatnot. And news headed out of nowhere. And it's the first time that OU fans have really been dumped. And when I started doing the Twitter spaces, we literally talked about how it was like I was more of like a grief counselor for like the entire fan base, because we were up. Drew England says, yep, good times, 3 a.m. spaces. Like, I'd start at 9 p.m. when I got from the restaurants, close, and then
we fell asleep one night,
5 in the morning the next day. So,
wow,
the first time we do the space, it's 9 p.m. We go to 5 a.m. The only reason I turned it off at 5 a.m. is because I'm like, dog, I've got to be, my trainer's expecting me at the gym at 6. So, I'm like, I've been up all night. I'm like, I just got to go to the gym. Like, I'm just going to drink an energy drink and like go figure it out. Like, I got to the gym and he's like, you all right? And I was like, I haven't slept. So the next night I like had my AirPods in, I'm laying down, I got my phone on my chest. I'm like, somebody else is talking and I just pass out and I'm hosting the Twitter space and I'm the only person that can close the space is the host. So I wake up the next morning, there's like 2,000 people in there sleeping because we would have thousands and thousands of people in this thing.
It's not even a joke.
It's brand new too.
It's so real.
Like, you had like journalists
wow.
in the world listening to try and figure out this new medium. So it was like, it was really an interesting window of an opportunity for me. But yeah, I woke up and I was like, I just turned it back on and I was like, hello. And like, you'd hear like, dude, everybody fell asleep, man. I tuned in and thought my phone.
That is wild.
And it was just quiet. Nobody was saying anything. So Yeah, it was wild times, wild times. Gosh. We were the largest space on Twitter like 5 or 6 nights in a row globally. And it was just, it was preposterous. Preposterous. That's when the radio station got in touch with me and they're like, you want to do radio? And I'm like, cool. Been doing it ever since.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. We're used to getting dumped quite often at Texas Tech. So I'm glad you guys felt the pain once too. And
it's not fun.
No. And yeah, Lincoln, you know, it's funny when Leach got canned there in 08, like Lincoln R.I.P. was our offensive coordinator for a bowl game against Michigan State. So yeah, lots of I don't know, like a lot of Tech fans kind of, if they had a dream maybe prior to Joey, wish like Lincoln would be the guy post Cliff. But realistically, I think a lot of us knew that would never happen.
Yeah, no, it was a crazy time, Brennan. It really was. I'll never forget getting a call from Trav and him saying, "JP, what am I going to do about my smokers?" And then I'm seeing in literally in ESPN the next week an article about Trav and how people like Lincoln wouldn't even let him in to the neighborhood because they like it got so bad. And people were so mad at Lincoln, bro, right? You remember how just vitriol was? That, like, they thought that, like, there were, like, thousands of people that were going to come storm his house to come get Travis's.
Yeah, they thought that I was leading an angry mob up the castle steps and, like, to the end of the neighborhood where he lived. And it was, yeah, it was rough because then he started making all these, like, in the media later, he just never shut up about it. And that's what annoyed the rest of us. He's like, for the protection of my family, my daughters didn't feel safe in the house because there were black SUVs circling the drive. And I'm like, no, there weren't. Like Norman PD had to put out a statement because he claimed that his wife called the police and they put out a statement that they were like, we never received a call from this house at any point in time during the month of, you know, whatever. It's like, he's making up all this stuff to make him look like such a victim. And it was like, which is no different, you know, of how he's been during his whole coaching tenure, right? It's, oh, our championship window is finally open. What? You're in year 5, dog. What?
Right.
It's just now open? Why? Like, because you canceled the Notre Dame series and you've weakened your schedule enough to where maybe you can sneak in? Like, man, that's crazy stuff. It's crazy stuff. But I know we talked about 45 minutes or so. We're coming up on 53 here. Any closing thoughts, fellas, before we, you know, I gotta get a little rest. You know, I'll be eventually, you know, head up to Omaha, you know, just kind of where OU fans hang out every 4 years.
Man, just potentially winning a natty. No big deal. Nothing crazy going on. Yeah. No, I mean,
I don't think you guys have been to Omaha since the plague. Yeah.
No, we have that. It's funny. I mean, you go to like 4 and 6 years and then your program totally tanks after COVID, and the COVID team was probably the best team that we had. And then they didn't get the chance to play. So
what's funny is we say that OSU fans say that. And you guys say that apparently the 2020 teams, apparently that they, Omaha.
If only we could have a bubble champion. If only we could have a bubble championship to celebrate.
I know. Thank God Alex Russo got a real ring.
Right. But appreciate you guys having me on, man. I know it's crossing enemy lines here. Never thought I'd be on an Oklahoma Sooner podcast, but it's not a lot of fun. And yeah, appreciate you guys having me on. Anytime you need to talk Texas Tech for whatever reason, maybe we can do a big preview show for a playoff game here in a few months. That'd be awesome. Hey.
If it means we both made it, then we're all coming out ahead, right?
Yes, sir.
Why not? Well, I appreciate you, JP. Anything else?
Yeah. Hey, man. Go, Brennan, if you don't mind, listen, I know, like you said, it's enemy lines, but, you know, we all love college football. It's all love here, man. So we appreciate you being on the show. And just go ahead and tell people where they can find you at on Twitter or on X, you know, Twitter, whatever.
Yeah, it's at Brennan Baxt, B-A-X-T. I tweet mostly Texas Tech content, but I try to make it fun and engaging as well too. So you can find our podcast if you're ever curious as Texas Tech season continues to unfold. If we lose a game and you want to make fun of us and find a funny reaction video, the Broadway Shuffle podcast on YouTube. We have episodes every Monday and Thursday. So
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, thanks again, brother, for coming on and spending the time. And yeah, hopefully, you know, Tech fans can just look ahead to 2026 and what's in store for you guys in the Big 12. But guys, make sure you lock in next week. We got another OU commit coming on. You know, we won't reveal who just yet. We will sooner rather than later. But make sure you guys tune in. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. I like OU Insider. So much content going out with Brandon and Trav. My own show on SEC Smoke. There's so much content going out. So please make sure you go ahead and like it. And we'll see you guys next week, same time. Boomer.